Turn your Bible now to the book of Proverbs, and we're in chapter 1 where we were last Lord's Day. No man can be the right kind of a praying Christian without reading the book of Psalms. No man can have devotionals like he ought to have and learn to talk to God like he ought to talk without reading some of the 150 wonderful songs and psalms of the Bible. Likewise, no man can be a right kind or the best of a businessman if he overlooks the book of Proverbs. I'm speaking, and I've heard so many times, that he's an old pro. I'm an old pro. We had some old pros with us the other day playing ball, a couple of them, and three of their sons, and you could tell they've been in the big league. You can always tell a man in the big league. There's a price to pay, and we had a great time playing with Don and Joe and others, but I'm speaking and bringing a series of messages on the old pro of the Bible, and the pro is Proverbs. Proverbs. Now we begin reading at verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. Notice the order, instruction, wisdom, justice, judgment, and then there comes equality. That'll solve your problem. To give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. That's an unknown word in America. Discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That's the reason it seems that America hadn't started yet. That's the beginning. You start with the fear of God. You don't wind up there. That's not the end, but that's the beginning. Show me a man that has no respect for God, I'll show you a man with exactly no character. This is probably the most characterless age in the history of America. Nothing is wrong anymore. No conviction anymore concerning right or wrong. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Irreverence surely grins in the face of a holy God. Even they've decided to take holy off of the Bible. They resent holy Bible, but it's still holy. The Lord's day is still holy. As far as I'm concerned, no day of pleasure. The Lord's day is a day to worship God. When Robert Voltaire, that grinning infidel of France, said, "Gentlemen, before we'll ever destroy Christianity in France, we must destroy what they call their Lord's day." They've done the same thing in America. We've got other foes of the faith besides Madeline Murray O'Hare. We've got a bunch of loop-legged, pusillanimous puppets standing up in the pulpit watching their watch today and dismissing the people so they can head for the beach or somewhere else. This is the Lord's day, all day long. That's the reason one of the rules and regulations to be a part of the enterprises is that we don't buy and sell on the Lord's day. That's been the policy of this preacher for 46 years. And when I preach like this, I always remember the Green Hut, the hamburger joint. And I drove by on Sunday night after working, preaching, visiting, and Ms. Roloff and I would drive back to Waco, Texas, Vail University, from Purdon, and it seemed like I could smell them hamburgers, and that seemed like when they smelled good. I mean, of course, you get a big hamburger with meat on it, real meat, for a nickel. I mean, a nickel. That's back when you got a triple-dip ice cream cone for a nickel. You mention that to Brother Ben over at the store and see how you come out. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Before this series of messages comes to a close, I want everybody here to be praying for one thing, and that's wisdom. And I want to tell you every time I preach, you don't get wisdom by going to college. You can only get wisdom one way, and that's to ask God for it. God said to a young man, the son of a great king, and David said, son, fear not. You're going to finish the work as long as you do the work of God and stay in His will. You're going to finish it, and God's going to be with you. He'll send His angel, give charge over you till you've finished all the work of the service of the house of the Lord. And so when Solomon came up to the throne, he had a conference with the Lord. And the Lord said, young man, and what would you like? And that boy had been so taught of his dad and had so watched David in spite of some mistakes and blunders. He said, Lord, I need wisdom. I'm asking for wisdom. And God said, because you didn't ask for riches and you didn't ask for fame and you didn't ask for fortune, I'm going to not only give you wisdom, but I'm going to give you the biggest amount of fortune and fame and silver and gold any man. Fact is, did you know that Solomon inherited $675 million? It was in the bank when he came on the throne. Brother, that's over $500 million he had to start with. And the Queen of Sheba brought it by the loads in order to see what he was doing. Brother, wisdom is our number one need. And the last place you'll find wisdom is off at an infidel school. You say, well, what is wisdom? I wish I knew. I can tell you, it's Jesus Christ. Amen. You say, where can I find it? In the Word of God. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Unless Mr. Carter, President Carter, gets his wisdom from his faith in Jesus Christ, he has exactly no wisdom. America has presented for the last, since 1930, about that. And that would be about 48 years, almost a half a century. The presidents of the United States have exercised less wisdom than any presidents that ever lived. Starting with a new deal and turning into a rotten deal, and here we are. Bankrupt to the bottom. Corrupt to the top. And here we are. Sin everywhere. Homosexuality. Filth. Immorality. Broken homes. And a shattered generation of young people. Our human resources for the next generation is gone. I was thinking, fellas, when you stood here singing a while ago, I don't know how many of you. Randy, how many is in the choir? 25. Somebody multiply 25 by 22 right now. 25 by 22. And tell me how much that is. How much? 500 and what? 550? That's how many dollars the taxpayers would have to pay if they'd have gone on where they were supposed to go. That's the penitentiary. $22,000 a head. That's how much it costs in Texas to take care of a prisoner, a lawbreaker, a criminal, 1 year, and you multiply 25 by 22, and you've got over $500 million, haven't you? No, you got 500 and what is it? $550,000, over $500,000 just for this little bunch right here. And brother, we're facing bankruptcy unless we come to get what I've been preaching. That's wisdom. And listen, I want to encourage all of you. Some of you sit out there and say, you know what? I didn't even get to go through high school. Well, that might be encouraging. You might be able to read and write. If you went through grammar school, you learned to read and write. College graduates unable to read and write. Dear friends, that's a shock to all of us. Now then, I'm talking about wisdom, though. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father. Forsake not the law of thy mother. Now, you remember what I said last Sunday? The instruction of thy father, the head of the house, he'll instruct you. And forsake not the law. And to me, that's love. What could be the law of a mother more than love? Who has demonstrated? A little boy said, you know, one day, he said, you know, since God can't be everywhere, he made a mama. Well, he can be everywhere, but the little boy might have been close to right because he needed his mother. Now then, they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, chains about thy neck. That'd be a wonderful chain gang to be in, wouldn't it? You say, where can I find it? In the Word of God. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Unless Mr. Carter, President Carter, gets his wisdom from his faith in Jesus Christ, he has exactly no wisdom. America has presented for the last, since 1930, about that. And that would be about 48 years, almost a half a century. The presidents of the United States have exercised less wisdom than any presidents that ever lived. Starting with the New Deal and turning into a rotten deal, and here we are. Bankrupt to the bottom. Corrupt to the top. And here we are. Sin everywhere. Homosexuality. Filth, immorality, broken homes, and a shattered generation of young people. Our human resources for the next generation is gone. I was thinking, fellas, when you stood here singing a while ago, I don't know how many of you. Randy Hammond's in the choir. 25. Somebody multiply 25 by 22 right now. 25 by 22. And tell me how much that is. How much? 500 and what? 550? That's how many dollars the taxpayers would have to pay if they'd have gone on where they were supposed to go. That's penitentiary. $22,000 a head. That's how much it costs in Texas to take care of a prisoner, a lawbreaker, a criminal, 1 year, and you multiply 25 by 22, and you've got over $500 million, haven't you? No, you've got 500 and what is it? 550,000. Over $500,000 just for this little bunch right here. And brother, we're facing bankruptcy unless we come to get what I've been preaching. That's wisdom. And listen, I want to encourage all of you. Some of you sit out there and say, you know what? I didn't even get to go through high school. Well, that might be encouraging. You might be able to read and write. If you went through grammar school, you learned to read and write. College graduates unable to read and write. Dear friends, that's a shock to all of us. Now then, I'm talking about wisdom, though. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father. Forsake not the law of thy mother. Now, you remember what I said last Sunday? The instruction of thy father, the head of the house, he'll instruct you. And forsake not the law. And to me, that's love. What could be the law of a mother more than love? Who has demonstrated? A little boy said, you know, one day, he said, you know, since God can't be everywhere, he made a mama. Well, he can be everywhere, but the little boy might have been close to right because he needed his mother. Now then, they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, chains about thy neck. That'd be a wonderful chain gang to be in, wouldn't it? Yeah, heaven's chain gang. Chains of love, Gwen wrote, hold me down. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily or privately for the innocent without cause, let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse, Moscow. No private capital, no private investment, no challenge to anybody. After all, We're all in the same governmental basket. Uncle Sam will feed us. What's Uncle Sam going to do when he plays plumb out? That's the reason I'm concerned about land and groceries and a water system and a power system and a way. Listen, one of the things we're going to have to do is dry food. We're going to have to dry our... Listen, we've had 65,000 pounds of peaches given to us. We're going to have to learn. And brother, we're going to have to go back to learn how to take care of things without a deep freeze. We may not have it always. America would be completely powerless and would starve to death if the power went off for 12 months. She doesn't know beans about anything except just going to get a TV dinner and sail it at the oven. Lose her can cutter, and she'd panic. America has lost the way to live practically. Oh, listen. Dear friends, America has some lessons to learn the next 10 years of her life. Wisdom. Wisdom. Well, he said, now let's all have one purse. Let's just all put it together. Now, did you know that? I would be for that if everybody was a born-again, spirit-filled, Bible-loving, sin-hating Christian. This place here is the nearest to a demonstration of Christian communism or community of goods there is. As long as any of us have anything, all of us have something. Because we share and share alike. Nobody is going to want for anything on this farm as long as we have anything. And to me, that's Christian community of goods. But, I'll tell you one thing. You let us get full of the devil and get to snatching and robbing and stealing, boy, we'll be in trouble then. But Christians are the only ones that could, even back in the New Testament, when they all brought everything, laid at the apostles' feet, notice, they laid it at the apostles' feet, not the governor's feet or the president's feet or the government's feet. And brother, when it comes to the place that we have to lay everything we got at the government's feet, we're in for trouble. They're asking us to lay our children at their feet now. They're asking us to lay our churches at their feet now. They're asking us to forget the Bible now. They're asking us to... They say you can't go to Sunday school in church, and you can't make him memorize the Bible, and you can't make him a spiritually indulgent thing that's brainwashing. Brother, tommy rot! People say, how do you get your children to memorize the Scripture? Make them. Them old boys down to Lighthouse, they can quote chapter after chapter. I know it's been hard, the old dope, fuzzled brains they bring in here. And yet, and listen, the best thing on earth to clear up your brain with is the Word of God. Amen. I believe, and I hope I can wind up being one of the outstanding, one of the greatest brain washers of this generation. That's one of my goals. You say, when? I'm doing it right now. Every time I preach, I'm brainwashing. I'm trying to get your brain washed out with King James wash water so you can get Jesus in your heart. Amen. That's what makes the difference. You know, the thing that amazes me is people want the blessing, but they don't want the blesser. They come in here, just like the girl came in here last night. She said, I didn't come to get delivered from my cigarettes. I enjoy them. I'm going to smoke them, and you can't keep me from smoking. I came to get off of methadone, and I came to get off of heroin, and that's what I want. And if you take me off of cigarettes, and then I get off of heroin, I'm going to go back to smoking as soon as I leave you. I said, you get right with the Lord, you won't. And that's for all of you, too. There's not a man on earth that's filled with the Spirit that's filled with Chesterfield smoke or Unlucky Strike smoke at the same time. No, sir, you're not. Brother, that's the way we ought to preach. We need to warn our people. Why, listen, you know, the HEW now has come out, the leader, saying we've got to wage war against cigarettes and tobacco. And yet, their testimony caves in because they let every kid in their home smoke cigarettes. How in the world are they going to fight? Brother, when we fight against cigarettes and tobacco, we take the tobacco away from them. Shake every one of them down. I don't care if he's 97 years old. More than likely, he won't live that long smoking. But when they come in here, a drunkard, an alcoholic, or a girl, or a boy, practically every girl and boy that comes to this home comes in smoking cigarettes. You know why? Mothers and dads permitted. My daddy said to me, and Melvin and Edel, he said, "Now listen, boys. If you'll get 21 years old without smoking, I'll give you a wonderful Elgin 17 jewel watch." Now to me, that was a real challenge. Now that, you know, kids now, 4 or 5 years old, have a watch on each arm or something, you know. But, I mean, back there then, you, boys and girls, they just didn't have watches. I mean, after all, my daddy was my timetable and timepiece anyhow. I mean, he was my alarm clock, everything. I mean, he just had charge. Now, talking about wisdom in this series of messages, he said, "Cast thy lot among us, let us all have one person. My son, walk not thou in the way with them." Don't you do it. "Refrain thy foot." Throw the brakes on. That's what he said. Throw the brakes on. "Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own life. So are the ways of everyone that's greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof." Now then, I've come to my text for the morning, and we'll have only a few moments to deal with it. Orphans crying in the street. Wisdom's little orphan. Wisdom cries without. She heard her voice in the streets. You know why? They won't let her in. They'll let television in. They'll let rock and roll in. They'll let sin in. Wisdom is walking the streets of Corpus this morning. Oh, listen. That's the orphan's cry. Crying in the street. Turn with me, please, to Isaiah chapter 29. Excuse me, chapter 59. Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 14. And judgment is turned away backward. That's reverse. Judgment is turned away backward. And justice standeth afar off. Have we seen that? Have we been to the courtroom for 5 years? For truth, and this is the reason, truth is fallen in the street. And equity cannot enter. Brother, when truth is relegated to the street, wisdom is in the street. Jesus is our wisdom, and He said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me." Truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth. And he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. No verses in the Bible have come true in my life like these two right here. Judgment gone away backward. Justice standeth afar off. Truth fallen in the street. Equity cannot enter. Now then, let me give you our hope. Read a little bit further. Verse 19. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Wisdom crieth without. She heard her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttered her word, saying, "How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you, because I've called, and ye refused. I've stretched out my hand, no man regarded, but you've said it not all my counsel, and with none of my reproof." That's why we got so many counselors today. I was reading the psychiatrists have made a landslide business this generation. We run. The Bible said, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." You know what that means? That means I cannot send you or permit my child or me or anybody else to go to an unsaved psychiatrist. Never. I walked into the psychiatrist's office if the judge were to say, "Brother Olaf, your fanatical stand, and we're willing to not send you to pen or to the jail if you'll go to the psychiatrist. We believe he can help you. You're thinking wrong, you're trying to teach all those children out there that the Bible is the way, and you're going to have them memorize the Scripture, and we're going to ask you, would you be willing to talk to a psychiatrist?" I might surprise you by saying, Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'd be glad to talk with him. Trot him out or trot me in. I'd walk in, and I said, the judge sent me here to talk to you. Are you saved? Well, of course I'd have to do that. Now, I know what his reaction would be. Sit down. You're in desperate need of help. Yes. You, no doubt, have mental problems, and I'd like... And the thing he'd try to do with me would be deprogram me, and you can't get this program out. My program is not a program, it's a person. You can't get him out, he came to stay. I tell you, now you talk about discrimination, and you talk about a violation of a person's civil rights. That boy that called me from California or Washington, one of those two states last week, and he said, Brother Olaf, I listened to you on the radio. He said, I've been a devout religious man, young man, I'm 20. He said, I really got saved, and the man that won me to Christ has been teaching me. My mother and dad, because of their religion, have been overly disturbed, and they had me kidnapped and took me to a private place and locked me up, and the deprogrammer came in and has worked on me 3 solid days and said, Christ is not real and the Bible is not so. And he hammered down, and finally I scooted out at the window while he wasn't looking, but I'm still saved and happy in Christ. And I'll give up my mother and daddy, and said, I'm calling you to ask you to pray for them and the deprogrammer. Brother, if it's real, they can't take it away from you. This deprogramming business is of the devil. Can you imagine? I mean, and yet when people come in here, when people, what are they going to do with me? If I said, Jack Patterson, you weigh 240? Okay. Ken Fenyon, I'll take you and Jack, and I want some others, nothing under 200 pounds. All man. We're going out here, and we're going to do a little kidnapping. I mean, I'm desperate to win souls. And so y'all pick me up about a half a dozen, put the handcuffs on them, and we'll take them down in the coastal cabin number 3. We got some good locks on it and windows and so forth that they can't break. And we'll take them down there. We're going to deprogram the devil. Amen? We're going to take the dope out. We're going to take the liquor out. And we're going to take the devil out and infidelity out. We're going to take the King James Version. We're going to read to them about 24 hours a day when they wake at least. And let them go to sleep and wake up and read some more. And we keep. Can you imagine what the sheriff of Kennedy County... And do you imagine what, when that word got out that we've got them lodged in cabin number 3 and we're deprogramming the devil? Why, listen, they'd put those boys in the penitentiary. That makes more sense than theirs. They're trying to take wisdom out of them, faith out of them, hope out of them. I realize your decision this morning must be voluntary, but it's not voluntary the way they're doing this thing. And to me, it's a violation of whatever civil rights people might have. Let's read just another verse or two. And close the message. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore, here we go, verse 31. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way. And America's doing it. Yes, sir, she's eating her own devices and be filled with her own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of food shall destroy them. And then verse 33, and we've finished the first chapter. Whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. That's a tranquilizer, isn't it? My, that's a good resting place. Yes, sir. Once my soul was disturbed with all of its sorrow, and my heart was so tempted to sin, well, Jesus opened His arms of mercy, and He tenderly took me in. And there is peace in times of trouble. There is peace in the midst of the storm. There is peace of the world.
raging, and there are so many alarms. In the Lord you will find protection right in the shelter of His strong arm. And there is peace in time of all your troubles. The storm, there is peace, though the world had been right in the shelter.
Amen. Let's stand together with bowed heads. The message is done. We've come to the stopping place once more. In the message concerning wisdom, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, my daddy, here today. Mother, why do you want to go on? Mother and daddy came to me last night and said, Brother Woolock, we only live a few miles. We're your neighbors. Well, we've just found out about you. This will not be the last time. Oh, daily we listen to the broadcast and we're coming now to worship with you in this church. You're going to need help to get through what we're facing. I'll tell you that. We're singing, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Have thine own way. Remember, if any man lack wisdom, it's a gift of God. Let him ask of God. It'll be given to him. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Come on. Thou art the potter. I'll be the clay. This is not the only time these girls prayed. There was nearly 100 here at 5 this morning. They're learning wisdom. He said, you'll find me when you seek me with all your heart. Some of you adults, been a long time since you've knelt down in an altar. Some of you mothers and dads are here today, your children, you see them. Why don't you just go ahead and receive what they've received so y'all can get along real good when you get home. Loved ones are here today. I challenge you to meet me here in this altar this morning and let Jesus make it right in your own heart. You daddies should lead the way. God will bless the wife and the children. You can't imagine how many. If we start request at the altar, they say, don't forget dad and mother. Remember my brother, my sister. My little brother's in trouble. Oh, pray for my daddy. Pray for my grandmother. She's a drunkard. Yes, that's right. That's right. Why are we saying that first stanza once more? How many mothers and dads? I'm going to give an invitation for you if you're saved to unite with the church and go to work for the Lord. Identify yourself with God's people. And I'll be preaching again tonight on the importance of the local church. The relationship of the church to Jesus Christ. Brother, he had a real relationship with it. I want you to come this morning. If you want to be saved, if you have been saved and haven't followed the Lord in baptism, then obedient to him, it does matter. About being obedient. Why are we saying, how many of you meet me and Brother Cameron here in the altar today? Just stand here and say, Brother Olaf, I want to follow the Lord. Count me and I live close enough to come here. I'd like to be a part of something permanent. Why are we saying, have thine own way? Come on. Have thine own way. Come on. one to those who are willing to accept what Jesus has done for us. Come on, others. Feel like singing, "Oh, to be like Thee," the chorus before we close the service. "Oh, to be like Thee." Will you sing it now? "Oh, to be like the lighthouse said, "I want to serve the Lord here while I'm here." You know, I've said not enough about it, but fellas, if you're going to be around here for 3 months, 6 months, a year, maybe from here on, I don't know, I'd identify myself with the church. If you're saved, if you need to be baptized, that's easy. We've got more water around Corpus than any place I know. And we'll baptize you. You'll be obedient to the Lord. Tie on. A stamp's no good if it's not stuck on something. And so I hope that you'll you girls, the same thing. We're not trying to make any record. Nobody wants our records or reports anymore. But the Lord's keeping books. Yes, sir.